You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
But this one's for Pat!
Welcome in, everybody. You know what time it is. You are Locked On Broncos. It is time to drop some knowledge. I'm Chad Jensen, the publisher of MileHighHuddle.com, and with me, as always, is my co-host Luke Polglaze, a semi-pro football coach and an NFL draft analyst, among many other things. Luke, what's good, man?
Hey, I'm hanging in there. No complaints. Getting ready for another week of tape, so the same as ever.
And the free agent frenzy has officially begun, and Luke and I are going to break it down for you tonight. We're committed to bringing you a daily podcast. It's going to focus entirely on your Denver Broncos, and we check in with you 5 days a week. And even though we're going to talk about the news, we're not here to just report it. We're here to do a deep dive on your favorite team. So what really helps us out is when you retweet the episodes on Twitter, when you share them on Facebook. Also, check out the work we're doing over at MileHighHuddle.com. We have killer premium Broncos content, more deep dive stuff for the Broncoholics out there. And don't forget, our premium members get 10% off on tickets and 10% off on Broncos team merchandise through Fanatics. Plus, premium members don't miss a single piece of our analysis or our reporting. In particular, there were some stories that went up on Mile High Huddle on Tuesday, some privileged premium member type stuff that you're going to want to check out. Follow the show on Twitter, at Locked On Broncos. Just take a second, flip open the phone, find at Locked On Broncos on your Twitter app, and give us a follow. The home of our show, of course, is Audio Boom, but make sure you're subscribing on iTunes, and if you are an Android user, on Stitcher, because here we are, it's free agency week, and then before you know it, it's going to be the draft, and you're not going to want to miss a single episode. All right, so Luke, the opening day of what is known as the legal tampering period in the NFL was Tuesday, and the Broncos buzz was thrumming, and the rumor mill was cranking out some interesting nuggets left and right. Now, a lot of what we're going to talk about today will be based on reports that are pretty much of public record. Some of it, though, will be info that's been gleaned from Mile High Huddle's own sources. And first things first, what I wanted to talk about. The Broncos really want guard TJ Lang, formerly of the Green Bay Packers. This guy is considered to be the top free agent guard on the market, and John Elway has his sights set on him early. Now, that doesn't mean the Broncos are going to actually get the job done and ink Lang. In fact, according to a source, we're told that Denver hoped, in fact, to get Lang to verbally agree to terms on Tuesday, but Lang wants to take his time, which I think is interesting, Luke, and visit some prospective teams because he wants the teams out there who are interested in him to get a look at his back in a med check. There are some concerns with Lang's back, apparently, and he's so confident that they are resolved that he's willing to wait before signing with the team because he thinks he can ask for more money with a clean medical. Now, Luke, I know this. It'll cost the Broncos at least $8.5 million a year to ink TJ Lang, but if the Broncos end up getting Romo, they're going to need TJ Lang.
Yeah, they're going to need a line in no uncertain terms because, you know, if they've got a quarterback who's at an elite level, really, they need to protect him, first of all, but especially if he is as injury prone as Tony Romo is, you got to keep him upright. You got to keep him off his back. And a guy like TJ Lang is going to step in and do just that. He's been part of really a very solid line for years in Green Bay. He has experience blocking for, you know, a high level quarterback and all that that entails. But, you know, not to forget, Aaron Rodgers is just as much of a scrambler as Tony Romo is. So that always helps to have a guy who's experienced with his quarterback, kind of breaking the pocket and running around the backfield. Really should not be underrated. When you got a guy hitting free agency, looking to make all those visits, looking to make sure that he's going to go out and say, hey, you know, I'm going to be right here. You can check me out. Here's my meds. I want to make sure I clear. You know, you got to love that for a guy being up front, being as honest as he can be so that teams feel more comfortable and at ease with him once they sit down to the negotiation table.
And we're all four players getting as much money as they can. I mean, in a game as physically punishing with the long-term ramifications that the NFL football has on these players, they deserve to get every nickel that they can. So we'll see what happens with Lang, but that's what we've heard on Tuesday. Now, moving on, multiple reports have the Broncos opening a dialogue with left tackle Russell Okung. Now, if we recall, Elway said back at the Combine last Wednesday that he intended to talk to Okung about returning to the team, that they hadn't moved on, quote unquote, and the Broncos have officially begun that process. Mile High Huddle's Eric Trickle told me that the Broncos want Okung back on a set of option deals with about $7 million in year one if he actually earns his incentives. They want him back on option deals with about a $5 million base that has incentives each year. Now, USA Today's Lindsey Jones, who's been a beat writer in Denver for many years, reported also that Okung, and I didn't realize this, can only talk to the Broncos during this legal tampering period, I guess because he doesn't have an agent. I'm not 100% clear on that, but the expectation is that Okung will have multiple suitors when free agency officially opens on Thursday. So, Luke, it sounds like if Elway does want to get Okung back in the fold, he's going to have to move and get it done before Thursday before the market gets driven up.
Yeah, and I'd never heard that before, which, you know, to be perfectly honest, there's only so many guys who don't have agents. So that is that kind of, I think, a very interesting side tangent of this whole process, is that Okung is kind of trapped in Denver, basically, at the moment.
Right.
Can't really take any flights, really listen to anybody else at the moment. But once that happens, you have to imagine that the expectation is that he's gone. You know, there is no intermediary here for Okung. There is him, there is the phone, and then there is the Denver Broncos. And at this point, you know, unless they can get a deal done before Thursday, once free agency hits, there are going to be teams lining up for him. Even though he's a little bit on the older side, even though he's a little bit overpriced, I think in the end, he is going to be very much in demand for a tackle in this league.
Yeah, I've heard that, of course, the New York Giants are interested in Okung, the New York Jets as well. Friend of mine told me that the Minnesota Vikings are intrigued by Russell Okung. So he's going to have some suitors, and I don't think it's the end of the world if the Broncos don't get him back. I mean, there's a reason why they passed on picking up his option after all. But if they could get him back with a $5 million base plus incentives, that's pretty good value for the quality of player Okung is at this point in his career. Now, keeping it on the offensive side, the Broncos are interested in former Chargers running back Danny Woodhead. There have been various public reports, and Mile High Huddle confirmed it with our sources, and it makes sense. Luke, I mean, Woodhead, he had his best years under Mike McCoy in San Diego. He struggled with injuries the last couple years, true. But if the Broncos get Tony Romo in the fold, they could do a lot of damage. I could see a lot of good things happening with Woodhead out of the backfield.
Yeah, I mean, a receiving running back like Danny Woodhead is basically a quarterback's best friend. There's really no telling just how much damage you can do with a guy like Woodhead, you know, who can run the ball occasionally for you, but really just be that kind of pass-catching third down back. Danny Woodhead has really been a guy who's had a lot of success in San Diego over the last couple of years. Despite the injuries, he's been great when healthy. If I remember correctly, Denver was linked to him the last time he was a free agent, so the fit would make sense. You know, I can't say enough good things about Danny Woodhead. I really love what he brings to the table. It makes so much sense as a link just based on the coaching.
Here's a question, though, while we're on the topic. If the Broncos do end up signing Danny Woodhead, doesn't that kind of take them out of the running for a fan favorite in the first round or even the second round in Christian McCaffrey? Because these are two guys that do basically a lot of the same things. They can do... They can carry the ball between the tackles if you need them to. They're great receivers out of the backfield. You can move them around the formation. In your mind, Luke, if the Broncos were to lasso Danny Woodhead, get him to Denver, do you think that keeps a guy like Christian McCaffrey off their board unless he just falls to him at ridiculous value?
Yeah, I would say that it does keep him off their board. Again, barring any kind of plummet where he just falls down the board and ends up in their laps. I think that if Denver goes out and signs Danny Woodhead, they're going to do it obviously for a higher price than drafting McCaffrey, just because rookie deals versus veteran deals. But to go out and pass on Woodhead and say, oh, we'll just draft McCaffrey, that's kind of short-sighted, because there's no telling where McCaffrey could go in the draft.
Yep.
You know, because you don't want to be sitting there at pick number 20 and he goes at pick 50. 15, and all of a sudden you're scrambling trying to figure out, well, you know, shoot, we should have signed we should have signed Woodhead before he went elsewhere. Now we can't draft McCaffrey. Now what are we going to do? So in this kind of situation, you know, it wouldn't surprise me for them to sign Woodhead to a cheapish veteran deal, get him in the building, and just let the draft board fall where it may and just go best player available.
Yeah, and I can't imagine it would cost too much to get Danny Woodhead, especially coming off, I believe it was another ACL, but I could be wrong on that. It was a season-ending injury, so he's not going to break the bank, and he's not exactly a bell cow, as impressive as he is with the ball in his hands and the different things he can do for a team. I think the Broncos could get him on a relatively team-friendly deal. Now, before we talk about the next piece of buzz, let's take a second, talk about our new sponsor. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/LOBroncos. Over 180,000 different titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, your Kindle, or MP3 player. So that's right. For you, the listeners of Locked On Broncos, Audible is offering that free audiobook and a free 30-day trial. Gives you the opportunity to check out their service. And with that free trial, there are a multitude of options you can choose from as far as titles. Off the Top, Girl on a Train, The Hobbit, Divergent by Veronica Roth. There's more and more. You can check it out. But to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/LOBroncos. Again, that's audibletrial.com/LOBroncos for your free audiobook. And you've heard me say it before that this is a product that I use on a daily basis. It really is awesome, especially if you're a big reader and you don't always have a ton of time to sit down and read a book. You can check it out and listen on your commutes, if you're driving long distance, if you're mowing the lawn. There's a lot of ways I listen to Audible and consume the books I want to read. Now, moving on here, keeping it on the offensive side, Luke, let's talk about Ronald Leary. Mile High Huddle reported that the Broncos have interest in the former Dallas Cowboys guard. And I like the idea of Leary, Luke, as a contingency if they don't end up landing TJ Lang. But SpotTrack has estimated that Leary's market value is somewhere around $9 million per year, which is actually more than Lang. Would he be, Ronald Leary, worth that level of investment in your mind, Luke?
Yeah, well, I think individually, Ron Leary is a very good player, but I think there's really no telling just how much he's been benefited by being on that Dallas line. We know it's all studs, and he's definitely been shown to be the weak link on that line. Now, just how weak that link is really remains to be seen, because we haven't seen him in an individualized atmosphere outside of that. So it's definitely going to be a situation where he's somewhat of an unknown quantity. He's still a guy you're trying to figure out where he lines up, you know, in terms of the top guards in this free agency period. So I think he's not going to be worth quite that $9 million. Mm-hmm. I do think he's a very solid option, but I just don't see him being worth quite that much.
And I'll be surprised, honestly, if he does end up getting $9 million per year. I mean, he's got a lot of sizzle coming from that Dallas Cowboys offensive line that's probably going to help drive up his value. But you're right. I mean, there is the question of, he was the weak link on that line. And he also has, if I remember right, some back issues on his medical report. So we'll see what happens. I would think for the Broncos, you know, Tuesday, it was probably in the case of Ronald Leary, you know, the Broncos and all NFL teams are trying to get their ducks in a row. And the guys that they really want, they're trying to get verbal commitments before free agency opens on Thursday. And then everybody else, they're testing the water. They're making phone calls. They're seeing what they're looking for. They're seeing if there's mutual interest to determine a plan of action for when Thursday opens up. And at this time, although the Broncos have shown an interest in Leary, it's unclear yet exactly where he falls on their priority list. Now, another wild card got thrown into the mix when the Chargers released DJ Fluker this week. He former 11th overall pick. I believe it was 2013. This is a kid. Well, he's not a kid anymore. This is a man, big man, whose NFL career has been kind of up and down. But he does know Mike McCoy. He does know offensive line coach Jeff Davidson. There is that connection. We've been told at Mile High Huddle that Denver wants Fluker, okay? But how much will it cost him? I would hazard somewhere around $8 million per season. But, Luke, as an X's and O's guy, this Fluker, he could play tackle, he could play guard, but do you see him as a feasible fit for the Broncos? I mean, is he a guy that could come in and realistically upgrade the group?
Yeah, he definitely is a guy who's going to fit far more in a man scheme necessarily than a zone scheme, which is really a benefit to Denver here in this situation, obviously, with the transition. Now, he does have some versatility. I know that he's kind of, you know, I haven't watched a whole heck of a lot of him, but he's a guy who you see this sometimes with offensive linemen, and they're just big, and their job is to be big, and by being big, they can just wall out some of the smaller guys. I think his technique does some work. He's a pretty good still at working to the second level, but you know, I don't know if he's necessarily going to be an upgrade for the price that he may end up asking for when it comes to free agency.
One thing interesting about DJ Fluker, this is just a quick aside, he actually kind of looks like Orlando Franklin, who has been his teammate in San Diego the last couple of years and former Broncos second-round pick in 2011. If you look at their pictures, like their team picture, there is like a similarity there. I could see like a family resemblance, but that's really neither here nor there. Let's
must be something in the water.
Maybe. I don't know. But a couple more guys on the offensive side of the ball, and then we'll go to the other side. The Broncos are interested, we've been told, in former Ravens tackle, right tackle, Ricky Wagner, and then, of course, Cincinnati's Andrew Whitworth. However, at the time we're tracking this episode, a source has told Mile High Huddle that Whitworth might soon be off the table. His agent is telling teams around the league that they are close to re-signing with the Bengals, but it could simply be a tactic to, you know, inflate his value. And I like the idea of getting Whitworth, Luke. I mean, and we'll talk about Wagner here in a sec, but getting Whitworth on, say, a three-year deal somewhere maybe a little bit north of $30 million, if the Broncos could land that and they get Romo, I mean, first of all, if they get Tony Romo, they have to get a known commodity at left tackle. I don't think there's any question. And Whitworth is, in my opinion, one of the most underrated tackles in the NFL. I mean, he's been to a couple Pro Bowls, and I think at least one All-Pro nod. But this guy really is a technician. He's big, he's strong, he's experienced, and I get excited thinking about what he could do as Denver's left tackle.
Yeah, he's definitely been doing it right in Cincinnati for quite a few years, but my only issue with him really is he's 35, which means he's really starting to push it. I don't really think any team, I think, reasonably expects him to play maybe beyond even 3 years at this point. So he's definitely going to find a spot for the last couple of years of his career and, you know, wants to make that a good landing spot for himself. I definitely think he can still play the position. There's no question about that. He's done a great job in Cincinnati, but my point is really kind of what kind of a contract is he going to end up with, and you know, not only with years, but how is that money going to be loaded into the contract?
Right.
Is it going to be front loaded? Is it going to be back loaded? What kind of a deal is he going to end up signing is important right here.
Yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, let's use just what I threw out there as a structure. 3 years, let's say $33 million as an example. If you're the Broncos, you want to say, hey, look, we'll give you 3 years, $33 million, and maybe the, you know, basically the first 2 years are guaranteed type thing, where the first $22 million or $20 million, maybe you could get him to sign for $18 million with incentives where guarantees kick in if he's on the roster at this day or whatever, performance based as well. But you're right. I mean, with his age, as good as he's been, his age is a concern. He's not a long-term solution. He's basically, as good as he is, you're putting a Band-Aid over a bullet hole, in essence. But I think John Elway, you know, the one thing the Broncos have going for him is everyone knows right now that the Broncos are hot on the trail of Tony Romo. I mean, and I wrote about this the other day, it's all but a foregone conclusion. Not quite, but almost. It's that likely to happen. And so Whitworth, here he is. You know, he's never sniffed the Super Bowl. He's been to the playoffs a couple of times since Andy Dalton's been with the Bengals, but he's never really sniffed the opportunity to win a world championship. And someone like John Elway and his ability to sell, his ability to recruit, his ability to close deals and really paint the picture of, hey, don't you want to go out like my boy Peyton did? Don't you want to go out like I did? We're putting the pieces in place. We're going out there. We're serious. We're getting Tony Romo. And we're, over the next 2-3 years, Luke, we're making a big run at another Super Bowl championship.
Right, and that's the question is, you know, if Denver does land Tony Romo, which at this point sounds incredibly likely, you know, that appeal becomes immediate of come out, you know, to the all the old veteran guys, just come on down, we're going to make a run at a Super Bowl, come get your shot, come get your ring, and play for a couple of years with us. Now, if Denver doesn't get Romo, then this whole narrative changes completely, and it's much more of a, you know, we're going to give you a great spot, come protect our young guy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. And as we reported, I believe it was Monday, we made mention on the podcast that Romo's agent has asked the Cowboys to officially release him, but they would lose or have to, I think there'd be an additional, off the top of my head, something like $9 million, maybe a little bit more in dead money if by releasing him on Wednesday, for example, than if they released him on Thursday. So he's not getting released until Thursday. That's the bottom line, is that at that point they can put him on the June 1st designation, and based on all of the contractual, you know, mumbo jumbo that goes into figuring out what a salary cap is in the NFL, it reduces that dead cap liability. So that's what's going to happen. The Broncos need to get him signed as soon as possible so that they can have more confidence and be on firmer ground in terms of painting the picture of what these prospective free agents are walking into if they sign with the Broncos. Now, another guy the Broncos like, again, is Ricky Wagner. SpotTrack thinks he's going to get about $7 million per year. I think that's actually underselling what his value might be. The more and more I hear about how the league views Ricky Wagner, Luke, I think he's going to get a little bit more than that on the open market. But would he be a scheme fit? Do you like Ricky Wagner for the direction the Broncos are headed offensively?
Yeah, he's a very solid player, and this is kind of a best case scenario for Denver. In, you know, Baltimore over the last couple of years, they've had a litany of several very good offensive tackles. You've got Monroe, obviously now the rookie Stanley, Ronnie Stanley, yeah. And now you've got a guy in Wagner hitting the market who you just wouldn't really expect to see normally. So I think he's going to definitely be a guy who's going to make some team in free agency happy. I definitely think he could play that role in Denver.
Well, let's go to the other side of the ball, talk about some defensive guys. The Broncos are interested in both Calais Campbell and Chris Baker. Denver's in the running officially for Baker's services with Tampa Bay, but Tampa has almost $20 million more in cap space with which to bargain. And I've heard, with regard to Campbell, some mixed signals. I've heard that he's basically chasing Malik Jackson money, and he, in fact, might find it in Jacksonville, ironically, but I've also heard late Tuesday that he is, in fact, reciprocating Denver's interest and would like to return home to the Denver area and become a Bronco. Now, Luke, if Elway can land one of these two guys, with how deep the draft class is on the D-line, that, I think, would be a great step in the right direction in terms of really bolstering that front seven and putting it back closer to the image that it was in 2015.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, especially when you're going to talk about a guy like Calais Campbell, he's a guy who is really just kind of built to be a 3-4, you know, end. This is a guy who just, if you look at him in person, he is just absolutely sculpted and just toned into that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Chris Baker is a guy who I think has been really underrated for what he's done in Washington over the last couple of years. He's been much more of that interior, you know, zero tech, one tech. He's a big boy himself, 6'2", 320, but he can move too. I honestly, both of these guys, if they were to come in here, I've heard more reports at this point connecting Baker than I have Campbell, which is interesting because that's completely flip-flopped as we've gotten this close. But both have been really stalwarts on those two teams for years. So both would be huge gets for Denver to kind of come in and be a veteran presence on this defense.
If you look at either one of these guys, it would kind of be storybook for them to come back to Denver because, of course, Calais Campbell, his high school career was in Denver. And then Baker, he went undrafted back in 2009 out of Hampton. And the Broncos signed him as a college free agent, and he made the final roster. He was on the team in 2009 before eventually moving on. But either one of those guys, they're at a point in their respective careers where they would certainly be an asset to the Denver Broncos. It's just a matter of figuring out the money. And who knows, with Denver somewhere around $42 million in salary cap space as it stands today, they're going to have some cheddar to play with. But with Tony Romo imminent, you got to figure that at least $10 million of that money is earmarked for Romo. So we got to keep that in mind. Now, a couple other things here before we get out of here. The Broncos did submit a second-round tender on two restricted free agents, kicker Brandon McManus and linebacker Todd Davis. No NFL team is going to try and match Denver with a second rounder for either one of these guys. I think Elway Luke learned from his mistake last year with C.J. Anderson in terms of making sure it was a second round tender. Now, it might mean they have to pay him a little bit more, but it guarantees that they're going to return to Denver. Both guys, 2017, they're going to be Broncos, and props for them, they're going to make probably close to, maybe even more than double what they did last year.
Right, this might be just kind of a bout of overcaution for Elway, but it's not a wrong move. It's paying young guys what they are worth, and it's paying them in a way that really rewards them for what they're able to bring to this team, which is, you know, quite frankly, a lot.
Yeah, especially with McManus. And, you know, we've sounded down at times, I think, with our tone about Todd Davis on this show, but you got to remember, we got to keep in mind, this is a guy who went undrafted, paid his dues, and started for the Denver Broncos all season long in 2016. And even though he had some failures in coverage and with his speed and matching up and stuff like that, this is a guy who did not miss a tackle. He's a very sound, solid player. And I think Davis very much worthy of that tender the Broncos did put in for him. Now, lastly, Troy Rank reported Tuesday, relatively early in the day, that the Broncos also tendered 9 exclusive rights free agents, including linebacker Zaire Anderson, Shaquille Barrett, Capri Bibbs, center James Ferentz, Benny Fowler the receiver, long snapper Casey Kreider, center, of course, got to have Matt Paradis, and then wide receiver Jordan Taylor. Now, the only one I'm not sure about there, Luke, is James Ferentz. I mean, with Kubiak gone, Gary Kubiak's in the rear view, I'm not sure this is a guy who's even going to make the roster this year, but at least the tender controls his rights going into camp, give him a chance to compete. They do like his attitude. They do like his competitive spirit, but I do question whether or not he's going to be able to fit in what Mike McCoy and Bill Musgrave and Jeff Davidson have cooking.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a guy who has had a history on this roster, but it was under the previous regime. Now, of course, the issue is that familiarity with the locker room going to be enough to save him under the new coaches, under the new leadership? Quite frankly, Ferentz is a guy who you can really have a competition for that backup center spot in training camp, in the preseason. He's a guy who you want there to push the competition. He can be that rosterable option. You know, they've shown some willingness to play around with him. He's been a goal line fullback a couple times, but
yeah,
he really needs to kind of step it up another level to really keep a hold of his roster spot.
It's been a whirlwind day. It's going to be exciting to see what happens tomorrow when free agency opens. Well, I guess technically we're tracking this day after tomorrow. We're tracking this late Tuesday. So that'll do it for today. Be sure to follow the show on Twitter. Just get it done real quick, guys. Open up your phone, at Locked On Broncos. Give us a follow. Luke's on Twitter, at Luke Polglaze. Myself, at Chad N. Jensen. We do love hearing from you, so keep hitting us up, and we'll try to address your questions and concerns on the show when time permits. Check out the other killer podcasts on the network, Locked On NFL Draft in particular, and Locked On NFL. Don't forget to subscribe, y'all. For Luke, I'm Chad. We'll talk to you tomorrow.